Hey, this is James from SorrelPunk.com.
And this is CPS Mike. How are you doing today, man?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm actually doing pretty good. I'm about a week into my paleo diet.
I am very proud of you.
Yeah, but we'll talk more about that later, now that it's you've declared that it's actually going to become a regular topic on the show.
Yeah, we will check in and see how you're doing and how you're maintaining. So
how's the retired life treating you?
I am busier than I have ever been. Yeah. Being an entrepreneur is hard work.
Oh, sweet irony.
But I do get to work the hours I want, which is nice.
Yeah, that's good.
And I get to work in with no shoes on and stuff, so that's good too.
Yeah. Speaking of that, like I said, you left your toe shoes at my house.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were out on my land. We were hiking around yesterday, and turns out I was in a particularly bad mood.
Yeah.
I was accidentally malnutritioning myself.
I determined you did not eat enough food, and you needed more food. Which I know I'm talking about. I may write an article on how people that are on a diet tend to not eat enough, which is sort of self-sabotaging.
Mm-hmm.
You go on a low level hunger all the time, thinking, you know, well, I'm trying to lose weight. You know, I could probably stand to eat a little less. You know, which in a way is kind of good, but mostly it's self defeating. And then this goes on for days and days and days, and then your mind's like, no, forget this crap. I need food, and you pig out, and you'll be like, Twinkies and Ho-Hos, hell yeah.
I don't like Ho-Hos.
Yeah, well, you do like Twinkies, though.
Yeah, I could go for a box right now. Yeah. I don't mean a little pack. I mean a whole fucking box of Twinkies right now. I could eat them. I could eat two of them.
Yeah, that's why I tend to go out of the philosophy that you just keep yourself filled up with the foods that you can eat. It's like going to a buffet. Like, after we got done with Rodizio the other day, and I was like, hey, Mike, let's go stop for more food. You're like, no, I couldn't eat another bite.
Well, I had gorged myself already.
Right. So
it was an expensive restaurant, and I was trying to get my damn well's money's worth.
Right. And, you know, we did do a little cheating with some flan, but it was a celebration, so...
Yep.
I only celebrate being 1 year sober once a year.
Yup. Actually, once in a lifetime. Unless you go off the wagon again.
True.
But I don't foresee that happening.
I don't want to, but, you know... I can't plan on that, so we'll see.
One day at a time, my friend.
One day at a time.
And speaking of one day at a time, this day on the show coming up, we're going to be talking about a couple of serious things, actually, right off the gate, about the woman that got beheaded over in Oklahoma, the Sandy Hook shooting and the conspiracy behind that. We're going to be going down on the homestead, talking about the dual homesteading that's going on. We got a new gadget coming up in Gadget Punk, the Lucy Lantern by Empowered. We're going to be talking more. We're going to have Mike's Paleo Report, a new segment on the show. We're going to be telling you about 20 terrifying facts the food industry does not want you to know, along with our Permaculture Minute, the Wild Edible of the Week. And we're actually skipping Mike's Worst Cases this week because I forgot to bring the cards with me.
Yay!
Alrighty, but before we get into any of that... Let us tell you a few good things about the fine people over there trying to talk you into some smart investments over at jmbullion.com.
Yeah, if you're listening to this show, then you're probably either already investing in gold and silver or really thinking about it, and I'm encouraging you to get off your butt and do it. You should start investing in gold and silver now.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it an excellent hedge against inflation. So I originally got into silver collecting for, you know, inflationary hedge, for survival purposes, and then I got into it sort of as a collector, although I don't spend a lot of time with numismatic value, which is the value placed on a coin for its, you know, rareness, its collectability.
Right.
I more or less collect coins that I think are cool, and I like those. So I was, just before we started recording, I was showing Mike my coin collection here, and he was kind of getting into it.
Absolutely.
So I'm trying to spark his interest and get him to move past the one coin that he has right now.
Yes, I have a solid silver dime that's actually become a permanent part of our podcast. It's my good luck talisman I keep pinned to our pod board.
And where should you get your gold and silver from, Mike?
You should go to survivalpunk.com. Find that banner on the right-hand side that says JM Bullion. Click there and start investing for the money of the new world after the collapse and rebuild.
Excellent.
All righty, and now let's get right into our first news story of the day. Recently, this past week, I believe, there was something that a lot of us never thought we would see on our own soil, and that was somebody beheaded, terrorist style, well, for pretty much similar reasons. Why don't we just jump right into it here?
Yeah, this article comes to us from FoxNews.com. It's all over the internet. You can find it anywhere, but this is just the one that I found. FBI officials are investigating a beheading at Oklahoma Food Distribution Center after co-workers said the suspect tried to convert them to Islam after his own recent conversion. The suspect, Alton Nolan, 30, was recently fired from Vaughn Foods in Moore prior to Thursday's attack. Moore Police Department Sergeant Jeremy Lewis told KFOR that Nolan drove to the front of the business and struck a vehicle before walking inside. He then attacked Colleen Hufford, 54, stabbing her several times before severing her head. He also stabbed another woman, 43-year-old Tracy Johnson, at the plant.
Lewis said Mark Vaughn, the company's chief operating officer and Reserve County deputy, shot Nolan as he was stabbing Johnson, who remains hospitalized in stable condition Friday. "He's a hero in this institution," Lewis told the station. "It could have gotten a lot worse. Nolan was apparently attacking employees at random," authorities said. The motive for the attack is unclear, but FBI officials confirmed that to Fox News that they were assisting the Moore Police Department in investigating Nolan's background and whether his recent conversion to Islam was somehow linked to the crime.
The police department issued a statement saying, after conducting interviews with Nolan's co-workers, information was obtained that he recently started trying to convert several employees to the Muslim religion. Due to the manner of death and the initial statements of co-workers and other initial information, the Moore Police Department requested the assistance of the FBI in conducting a background investigation on Nolan. Nolan, according to state corrections records, was convicted in January 2011 of multiple felony drug offenses, assault and battery on a police officer, and escape from detention. He was released from prison in March 2013.
Saeed Mohammed, a spokesman for the Islamic Society of Greater Oklahoma City, told NewsOK.com that leaders of the society's mosque are taking security precautions to protect Muslims who gather there from any potential retaliatory violence. Mohammed said any anti-Muslim sentiments local residents might have could be heightened due to the beheading and violence overseas by Islamic State militants. "They have the ISIS thing on their minds, and now this guy has brought it to America," Muhammad told the website.
Lewis said he does not know yet what charges will be fought against Nolan. Oh, I didn't realize he survived. Anyway, shot. Adding that police are waiting until he's conscious to arrest him. Authorities said he had no prior connections to either woman. More police department officials have released 9/11 calls from the incident.
911 calls.
911. 911. 911 calls.
Freudian slip.
OKCFox.com reports, during the recording, a caller tells an operator that a person is attacking someone in the building. Excuse me. Several gunshots can be heard in the background at the end of the call. A Vaughn spokeswoman said the company was shocked and deeply saddened by the attack. Yeah, I think a lot of us are shocked and saddened by the attack.
See, I didn't realize this guy was just like an American that recently converted to Islam.
Right. It sounds not so much that he's this is necessarily an ISIS connection. It just sounds like he was a crazy, violent, you know, SOB anyway. I mean, he had previous drug connections. He's probably not a good person anyway.
No, and he found some kind of new enlightenment in his new religion and just went wholly gung-ho fanatical about it. I mean, like you said, he was formerly convicted of all the drug stuff. He might have been on drugs at that point. I don't know. I can't speak for it. I was not there. But I mean, that is one bad thing. I mean, that's one bad thing. People are going to hear this. He recently converted to Islam, and then all of a sudden now he's beheading people. Well, see, most Islamic people, most Muslims in this world, abhor violence like any religious devout does. It's only that small sect that goes in for the terrorist stuff. And people forget every religion has those. I mean, there's Christian terrorists out there. Just ask anybody who's lived in any part of Ireland.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you ask me, the IRA, the terrorists in Ireland, are probably better terrorists than the terrorists we're fighting in you know, the Middle Eastern regions. They go out to kill someone. By God, they blow them up and kill them. Like, well, they're good at what they do.
I used to watch this show called Deadliest Warrior, where basically they would pit two groups against each other that have never fought, never been in the same part of the world, you know, with all their computer statistics and all the stuff they learned, and see who would win. And they actually pitted, believe it or not, the IRA against the Taliban.
Oh,
and the IRA won an insanely large percentage of the times, because they run the test like 10,000 times.
Yeah.
Just, you know, for variances and stuff like that. And the IRA won the... What?
I'm going to watch that episode.
Oh, yeah, and the IRA won the vast majority of those times. It was actually, yeah. So, I mean, so what? Basically the point I'm trying to make here is I'm not encouraging people to go out on an anti-Muslim, you know, freaking thing, you know. You know, this is not a brown people thing, as most of the, like, whites in America like to just hate on. I mean, this is just one idiot, one psychotic idiot going off fanatical about something he believed in, which the vast majority of them don't believe in that. I mean, believe it or not, it's actually been a very beautiful, peaceful religion 90% of the time. But then again, that's every religion, so.
Yeah, I mean, I as being an anarchist libertarian, I don't really have any issue with their religion. But when you start beheading people, that person then becomes an issue. That group becomes an issue. As in the group like, you know, ISIS. ISIS is an issue. They're out there beheading people.
Definitely.
Entire, you know, it's like, you can say, oh, they're people. People are killing people. Oh, we better just start killing people because people are killing people.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you got to break it down to this person committed a crime. They aggressed upon another person. That's when things stop being okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on to our next news story, which I don't like to read news stories from this website usually, unless we're having a, you know, a tinfoil hat extravaganza special, which is the InfoWars Wars website by Alex Jones, because Alex Jones is a nut job.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, well, he's pretty popular. A lot of people kind of like him.
Well, people gravitate toward nut jobs. Why do you think, like, Rush Limbaugh is so popular?
Yeah.
And that other guy, whose name completely escapes me right now, Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck. I don't mind Glenn Beck as much. I don't go out of my way to watch him, but he seems...
Bastard.
Whatever. so...
All right, but back to the seriousness of this.
So, I saw this on Facebook, and I was like, this can't be... No. I was Googling around, and I came across this website, and or came across this news article, and the title is, FBI says no one killed at Sandy Hook. Agency published crime report showing zero murders occurred in Newtown in 2012. On December 14th, 2012, the world watched in horror as corporate media reported the deaths of 20 students and 6 staff members at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown at the hands of a deranged 20-year-old. Internet sleuths immediately took to the web to stitch together clues indicating the shooting could be a carefully scripted false flag event, similar to 9/11 terror attacks.
Oh, don't get me started.
Yeah. The central tenet being that the event would be used to galvanize future support of gun control legislation. 2 years later, and scores of politicians and gun control groups have cited the Sandy Hook incident as pretext to curtail American Second Amendment rights.
The investigation took an odd turn earlier this year when national school safety consultants Wolfgang Halbig was visited and threatened at his home by homicide detectives after he began reporting on additional inconsistencies in the Sandy Hook narrative, which he believes proved the shooting to be fabricated. Among 16 questions which Halbig says are key to unlocking the Sandy Hook mystery, Halbig asks, why and for what reason would the FBI classify the SHES shooting, the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting, when they did not classify the Columbine shooting, which also was an active shooter mass casualty incident? Additionally, Halbig questioned why no trauma helicopters were ever summoned to the school and why paramedics and EMTs weren't allowed to enter the building to try to save lives.
In contrast to the Connecticut report, in 2012 FBI crime report for the state of Colorado shows that 29 murders occurred in the town of Aurora that year, which is where the movie theater. Aurora that year, a figure which takes into account the number of people who died in the Century Theater during the premiere of Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight film. While those who question the official Sandy Hook story have largely been marginalized, the FBI's own data is now seemingly substantiating their theories. What do you think about the FBI's latest crime data? Leave your comments below.
You can't leave your comments below on a podcast. But anyway,
you can leave it on our podcast. You go to survivalpunk.com.
Absolutely. Great point. Yeah, survivalpunk.com. You comment on this there. You can comment on anything we do there. But getting back on topic, that is kind of weird. I had not really followed this particular story that closely because, well, frankly, you know, you get so much depressing stuff in the news anyway.
It's kind of weird. I'm not saying nobody was killed at Sandy Hook. I'm saying you should do some research for yourself and look into it. And, you know, it seems like there's more here to this. It's not, I don't think it's cut and dry. I kind of had some weird, there's this and the Aurora Batman movie shooting thing both kind of had some weird, weird things in it. And I think we should probably do another tinfoil hat episode to have some fun.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And this will be one of the main topics of that one along with...
Maybe we'll do that as our...
you know what?
As our rantings. We'll do a conspiracy rantings on the for the Survival Punk members.
Absolutely. Yeah, for Survival Punk members, we're going to have a rantings episode coming up, and I'm declaring it right now. It's going to be all about conspiracy theory. Another tinfoil hat episode, and the only way you can get that is by becoming a member of the Survival Punk Army.
Right, so this is, I'm not accepting this at face value, but it's definitely worth looking into, and it's intriguing. That's a huge, if it's a simple fudge of the numbers on the FBI's part, they forgot to include the, 20-something, 30-something people killed in this, to leave that data out of both that incident and the statewide killings for that year just seems like a big, big hole. Like, it's a huge fudge on someone's part.
I mean, the great, great place to start on something like this. This was a bunch of students that were killed at an elementary school.
Lawsuits. There have been no lawsuits filed against the school.
No lawsuits.
That I was going to say, I actually did dig into this issue a little bit further. I did more research than just this article on my own. And normally after something like this, like Columbine, when those shootings happened.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple parents of children that were sadly killed in that filed lawsuits against the school and the state for not protecting their children.
Absolutely.
Not a single one filed against the Sandy Hook Elementary.
That is... Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is unheard of in America.
There's a lot of stuff around this shooting, possible shooting. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
We live in a country where people will sue a company, will sue, like, a grocery store over slipping in a puddle that they themselves made.
Yeah.
And will win those lawsuits half the time. And there was no lawsuits filed?
Yeah, I don't have kids, but I imagine if you lost one of your children, suing is the least thing you would do.
Right, no, yeah, that would be... I would eventually get around to it. Yeah, there's no doubt about that, but... Oh, God.
I mean, I can't even imagine the grief these parents are going through.
That's what I wanted to get at on this, was the parents of these children. I mean, there's got to be... We live in a world... full of social media. Other than just Facebook and Twitter, there's God only knows how many outlets people have out there. And you would think that news like Fox, CBS, NBC, whoever, would want interviews with these parents, the parents who lost their children in this, if, in fact, their children were lost. There's got to be death records. There's got to be graves, for God's sake.
Yeah.
There's got to be bereaved parents. I mean...
So, definitely, if this intrigues you, you know, go look into it yourself and research it. And if you're a Survival Punk member, then look forward to our episode. But don't go on our word, and certainly don't go on Alex Jones's word. Research for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, now getting on a brighter note than that, it's time for our affiliate ad for the good people over at Well Food Co.
Absolutely. Well Food Co., home of the Paleo MRE, the Well Food Co. Carne Bars, which I love. Created by John Wellborn, his wife, and Rob Wolf, author of The Paleo Solution.
Yeah, I might actually be trying some of this stuff now that I've gone into the paleo lifestyle.
They have grass-fed beef jerky that's so good. Paleo chocolate bars and cookies.
See, now I actually picked up some beef jerky the other day. It wasn't from Well Food Co. And I got to looking at the ingredients, and I'm like, oh, boy. Yeah, I can't even eat this. It's like the one thing in the convenience store I thought I could get, and then I'm looking at it, and I'm like... Yeah, I'm giving this to my wife, who's not on the paleo diet, but I'm getting her there.
Yeah.
I've been fixing her paleo meals that go along with my meals, and, you know, she's eating good.
Yeah. Well, you cooked steak for your kids last night, so...
Well, yeah, and this morning, me and my wife both had steak and eggs. I had steak, eggs, and bacon.
Yeah. I tried... This is off a tangent. I tried this quick recipe, and it didn't work out perfectly. Maybe I should fiddle with it more, but it did turn out to be tasty... And edible. And you take a banana,
mm-hmm.
you mash it up,
mm-hmm.
you put one egg in that banana, and you mix it all up.
Interesting.
And then when you do that, it makes a batter. You pour it into a hot skillet like a pancake, and you cook it. Flip it over, cook it, and it makes a pancake batter.
And you said it ended up tasty?
It had sort of banana flavor, and it didn't taste eggy. It tasted banana pancakey.
Weird. But we're off topic again.
Tasty, though. I might do a whole recipe on that and when I get it fully worked out and whatnot.
We might have just given Well Food Co. an idea.
I meant to talk to Well Food Co. about the paleo ration bar that I created. I might make you try a bit of it, see what you think of it.
Oh, definitely. But if you want some of the good stuff over at Well Food...
Way off on a tangent. Best food you can get. Make sure you go to survivalpunk.com, click the banner in the right-hand margin, and pick up something from them.
Absolutely. Now on to the main topic of today's episode. Now, does this actually pertain to the TV show that you're pitching?
Well...
Or just to the lifestyle in general?
We haven't quite got to that yet. So, we're pretty much undertook our project... me and David Nash from the Shepherd School. The project is called Dual Homestead, where we'll have a video truly introducing the project, but I wanted to talk about it real quick, and then we'll have David on sometime soon, too.
Yeah, I'd actually like to meet him.
Yeah.
The other man in your life.
So Dual Homestead is me and Dave trying to homestead a piece of land out in... rural Hickman County, Tennessee.
And it's not just two people doing the exact same stuff. It's two people doing it in completely different ways.
Right. We both have completely different takes on the way we do stuff. Although we both have a strong DIY ethic. You know, I'm a younger punk rock anarchist, paleo, CrossFit, you know, walking barefoot in the creeks, trying to get closer to nature. I want to do things organic. Grain-free, make the land, you know, permacultured, productive, and better.
You're like Cody Lundeen at a Metallica concert.
Yeah. And Dave is a conservative, Christian, Republican, family man, big on grains, wants to, you know, do a fill of, you know, wheat and stuff, which
wow.
I'm only okay for, you know, growing wheat, which is unsustainable and not really good for the land anyway.
But it's his land.
For you know, livestock, well, I'm the land steward.
Yes. Steward?
Yes, I'm the land steward.
I'm going to start calling you Stewie.
So, you know, we kind of have completely different ways of seeing problems and tackling them. You know, we want to document how our differences, you know, work out, and then how we turn this land from basically a big ball of dirt right now. You know, it's trash.
You're starting from the ground up, essentially.
Even worse, the land was all overgrown. It had a burned up trailer on it, and which would be if it was just burned up, that would probably be okay. We could deal with that. It more or less has enough burn damage in the trailer to prevent us from repairing it, but too much where it's like it's completely piled up with trash everywhere.
Oh God!
So it's a horrible mess that we have to get rid of before we can really start building and putting stuff on the land.
Can't you burn it again?
No, that's illegal. Actually,
it's illegal to set fire to a burned out trailer.
Yep. Wow. I mean, it has walls, so we have to not only get rid of all the trash on it, clean it up, but then we have to deconstruct it. We have to demolish it.
Oh my God!
Which I'm actually kind of looking forward to. That sounds like fun. Yeah. We're going to remove the windows and get some salvageable parts off of it. But really, you don't want to come out there and swing a sledgehammer and break a trailer?
You know what you should do?
Huh?
Perfect idea. You should contact local dojos and AMA groups and get like a bunch of fucking guys out there to be like, we're gonna videotape all you guys tearing this apart with your bare hands and feet.
Oh yeah, I figured you and me. Did you ever see the Two Man Wrecking Crew TV show?
I've not even heard of
this. They destroy things with their bare hands.
Oh my God!
They destroyed a trailer, a house, a helicopter. Like, they start with something fully assembled and end with it completely demolished.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'll have to get out there and swing a 20-pound sledge.
Yeah. So, that's part of it. So, we'll be doing a lot of homesteading projects. We were out there this past week. Oh, by the way, the YouTube channel's up. You can go to dualhomestead.com, subscribe, watch some videos. I'll be having more videos on my YouTube channel, Survival Punk.
Yeah, get on there. You can actually watch our Survival Punk himself swinging a pickaxe at a barrel.
Yeah, yeah, and there's lots of videos up there now. So there's that. Make sure you check out the Dual Homestead videos. We'll probably end up having longer form episodes, which will be nice. Only on the Dual Homestead channels. We'll have more clips on our own channels.
I still can't believe you guys started with a drill and then switched to the pickaxe.
Yeah. Pickaxe was so much faster.
You think?
Yeah.
How long did you actually get a hole through it with the drill?
A couple of them, but
how long did a hole take with the drill?
I'll say, you can see in the video, we drilled maybe 3 holes, and it was probably 30 seconds a hole or so.
And how long did a hole take with the pickaxe?
About 1 second?
I'd say about a half a second once it made contact.
Yeah.
It's just funny looking.
I mean, swinging from one hole to the next, it was just that fast.
All right, now, you said he's into wheat and he's going to be wanting to grow wheat out there. What about you? What crops are you looking forward to?
I want to build the perfect paleo homestead.
Interesting.
So everything that's paleo approved, I'll be having some kale. I'll be running a lot of animals through the system. He wants goats, and I actually don't want goats, but there is
goats can come with their own set of problems, right? They're just ask the good people up at the Crooked Tree Farm.
Right.
They've got one goat that has knocked up all their other goats.
Yeah. There's a lower pasture that we'll have to clear out, and that in itself will be a pain in the ass because it's completely overgrown and filled with trees. But by pasture, I mean it's woods that we'll have to clear out to make pasture out of it. So there's that problem. And the bottom
is it a usable wood, though?
Some of it. Not much of it.
I'm sure you could use it for firewood at the very least.
Yeah. The bottom has a creek running through it, and it ends in marshlands, which marshlands can be one of your most productive systems. So I'm going to have some water chestnuts down there, some cattails, a bamboo grove, which bamboo is edible and useful for building construction.
Bamboo grove down there?
No, I'm going to have a bamboo grove.
Oh, you're
going to
have a bamboo grove.
Right.
Oh, it's too damn bad. Oh, God, it's too bad my dad moved to the Philippines. If I still had access to his yard, we'd have access to growing bamboo.
There's actually, from where I'm at right now, this apartment, there's a bamboo grove down the street on this little walking trail.
Oh, really?
So I can maybe get some sprouts there or something. Or
because it's either that or sneaking into the Nashville Zoo.
Yeah.
If they have their own bamboo forest.
Just like order some bamboo. There's actually, I think, a bamboo farm in Hohenwald, which is not far. I met a guy that runs a bamboo farm down there.
Yeah, that's
which
down there.
Which is quite, quite productive. Like, that's a lot of money to be made on bamboo. So there's that. You know, I plan to do things. You know, next year I'll have maybe a pig or a few pigs to run through for meat production and try to do some market gardening stuff where I'm going to sell to the market garden and then make the land productive, put in some food forests.
Yeah, you need to get a good fertile fat sow.
Yeah.
And then you got a regenerative bacon seed production.
Yeah. I mean, the only sort of grains that I'm at all thinking about doing on the land is there's one giant south-facing hill on the land, which to me just looks like it would be great to put in some terraces and on maybe a terrace or two to put in some rice, which, you know, small amounts and for barter and stuff.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, are you still – now, once you get out there and get settled in and everything, are you still going to be wanting to look for an ox or a mule?
Yeah. It would be nice to have an ox, and I kind of want to play around.
Now, if any of our listeners out there actually have an ox that they're wanting to sell or, hell, just give away, same with a mule – just contact us, and you could actually be on our YouTube channel. We'll videotape the whole thing and put it up there. We'll mention you on the podcast and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so that's another thing about dual homestead is that Dave wants to go fairly – it's kind of weird. Dave wants to go a lot of technology, so tractors and weed eaters and chainsaws, and I want, you know, axes and scythes and –
it's modern versus primitive.
Right. On the flip side of that is I do need internet, obviously, for the website, the podcast, the YouTube channels, and stuff like that. And I do want to do things like wire up the entire property for Wi-Fi to have cell phone signal and stuff. Remember that cell phone app thing I was playing around with at your house, the Serval Mesh?
Yes, we spoke about it. It was our gadget that week.
Right, so I tested that out at the property. I took two of my cell phones out there, one that doesn't have any service, it's an old cell phone, and the new one. And
you could use a cell phone with no service for this?
Well, what I did was I created a Wi-Fi network with one of the cell phones, and then I ran the app on both of them, and then connected to the network of one phone with the other phone, and was able to make phone calls, a couple hundred yards away.
But to the
other phone with no service on either of them. I mean, because it's out in there, there's no service whatsoever.
Basically, turning it into a walkie-talkie that you have to dial up.
Right.
That is awesome.
Yeah, and your text message and stuff.
I didn't even know you could do that with like a non-serviced phone.
Yeah, because it's making phone calls over IP using a Serval Mesh network.
It's not illegal, is it?
No.
Okay, good.
So that was neat. That's something I'll be doing a whole review on Serval Mesh on the website, just because. I think it's really neat. And then with some directional antennas and Wi-Fi, you could probably get some fairly good, you know, communication and fairly secure. You know, that it's you'd have to connect to the Wi-Fi network and be on the mesh network. So there's that.
When are we going to get Dave on the show, by the way?
Soon. I'll have to talk to him. Maybe we'll stop by or something. He's down the street from you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he lives down the street.
He lives in Charlotte?
Dixon.
Oh, in Dixon? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'd have to go over, you know, talk to him, because I'd like to get him on the show. I've heard a lot about him.
Yeah.
And I've only seen him the one time on the video.
Oh, yeah.
Alrighty. Anything else you wanted to bring up about your homestead?
While clearing the land, I got to spend a couple of days out there camping, which was nice. Throw up the hammock.
Yeah, abandoned me and my diet, if I might add. I'm texting him back and forth. I'm like, can I eat this? You said I could eat this, but these manuals say I can't.
Yeah, I should have just wrote down a bunch of rules and be like, do this, don't question anything, just do this. Put that in. So you're learning well on your own. I like that. So yeah, I was out there. I did some homestead fit workouts where what was it? Our buddy Smitty had a tractor out there, and he was knocking over trees.
Wait, stop. Hold. You know somebody named Smitty?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Welcome to the 70s, dude.
Yeah, Smitty. So he was knocking over trees with his tractor, and Smitty. I was picking up the trees and dragging them to a burn pile, which in retrospect, I wish I had chopped them up and put them under the ground for hoog culture beds. But, you know, at the time, we had a lot to get cleared out. And that was a workout in itself there.
Oh, I can imagine dragging a tree.
I chopped some stumps. I got to use a chainsaw for the first time, which has always been something I've wanted to do and greatly feared at the same time.
Yeah, you're a southpaw.
Being a southpaw, being a lefty, yeah. Chainsaws tend to kill a lot of us.
Yeah, they're not really built for left-handed people.
Right, and it was sort of a learning curve. I didn't get hurt. I will be buying some safety gear in the future. For all you safety Sallys out there, yeah, I was not wearing anything.
Do you still have your manual chainsaw?
I do, yeah, that we shot the video with. Like, I've got that. I've got axes. I've got some other little saws and stuff. I've got a big bow saw now. But yeah, it was fun to play with a chainsaw for once. I like that. And then we did some outside cooking, which was good. I took a little cooler, and I want to say it was I don't remember what kind of cooler it was. It was a Walmart cooler. It's kind of on the smaller side.
Mm-hmm.
It held ice for when I left at the end of the second day. It still had ice left in it.
Sweet.
So I brought some hamburgers, a package of hamburgers there, and we ate those for 2 days, cooked them up for dinner and then breakfast, and then I used some of the Libby's seasoned beef packets and some instant mashed potatoes to make a lunch sort of the next day, just sort of a quick thrown together, sort of like instant shepherd's pie,
mm-hmm.
which was tasty and hit the spot for sure. What else did we do? We dug out a fire pit. After I left, you can see videos. They fell a big pine tree behind or right next to where they put in our electric pole because they came out and brought our electric pole out there that we need to put the electricity on and get that going.
Right.
So that's out there. The fire pit, we cleared out sort of a little camping area, burned down some underbrush. Smitty fixed the driveway. It needs gravel, but the big gaping holes and stuff in it are fixed for now.
I swear to God, if you get picked up for a TV show, you better have me on there as the narrator.
The narrator.
Yeah. The narrator.
Well,
in a world with two homesteaders.
Yeah. I might have you dub over some voice stuff for us.
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. So that's Dual Homestead. Check out the YouTube channel, YouTube Dual Homestead. Dave's got some videos up there. I've got some videos on my YouTube channel. Just doing lots of work, introducing things. It's going to be a lot of work, but it is going to be a very productive land, and it's going to be beautiful.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait to get out. We keep trying to make excuses to go out there, but one thing after another keeps preventing me from doing so. I know I'll eventually get out there. I'll be driving as U-Haul.
Yeah, you will eventually.
Which is actually going to be a cool experience for me because I've never driven a vehicle that big. But I'm the professional driver.
If anyone can do it, you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to that. All right, but now it is time for our Gadget Punk segment of the week, and we've actually got a pretty cool little gadget this week that I was actually impressed with. It's by a company called Empowered. That's M-Powered, like the letter M, and it's the Lucy Lantern.
Yeah, it's a little inflatable solar lantern.
You heard him right, an inflatable lantern.
It's kind of like one of those inflatable sort of beach ball things, only it's like cylindrical when you blow it up.
Yeah, it's cylindrical. It's got solar panels on the one side.
It has a button. You can hang it. You know, hang it from the tree or a hook or something to get, you know, a light out there. You can set it down and have that. You just blow it up so it makes a big lantern shape, and then it's got some reflectors on it so it reflects the light. And it's got some LED lights in it, and they're pretty bright. It has a strobe mode if you're trying to find your way back to your camp or something.
I don't get that. I don't get how a strobe mode would help you find your way back to the camp.
You see the beacon.
Oh, see the beacon. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, you know what? They sent it out to me for review, and I meant to take it out to Dual Homestead to use it out there, and I got out there and realized I left it here. So I took it out to your place, and I tested it you know.
Well, you could still use it out there.
Oh, yeah, I will be taking it out there.
Yeah, but it's got like a dim setting, a bright setting, and that strobe setting, which is not a very fast, like...
It is a slow strobe. It's not.
It's a slow strobe. It's not going to be giving you a seizure.
Right, right. So no dance party with the Lucy, but, you know, you can find your way back to your camp for sure.
No, and when not in use, you let the air out, and it's actually pretty compact. It can fit in a big pocket.
Yeah, it that's what I like, too. Like, when you deflate it, it's, you know, it's about the size of what fits in my palm of my hand.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's LED lights, so right there, it's using less power with a lot of brightness. I mean, and plus, it's completely renewable. I mean, it's solar powered.
Yeah, there's got to be some battery pack in here, because it's got to be storing energy somehow. Because it has a solar panel, and I know it's not running straight off the solar.
No, it's probably recharging some small batteries or something like that.
Right. So, I don't know about the longevity or anything.
Well, you should just, leave it charged. I would recommend leaving it charging in the sunlight all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then just turn it on and leave it on all night just to see how long it's going to last.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll, you know, look for the full review on the website. But right now, for just what I've seen of it, it's actually a handy little product. I'm a big fan of it already.
Your wife already wants one.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't mind giving a couple of them, actually. I mean, it'd be pretty good for, I mean, because we live out in the boonies. There is no street lights out where we live, anything like that. And to go outside on a moonless night, it is blacker than the inside of God's boot out there.
Yeah.
All right, so but that is the Lucy Lantern by Empowered. What do those retail at? Do you know?
I would have to look that up.
All right, well, that'll be on the website. So
look for the full
article on SurvivalPunk.com. All right, and now it is time for Nutrition Punk. And first up is going to be a regular segment on Nutrition Punk from now on. Mike's Paleo Report.
So, Mike, how are you doing on paleo this week?
I'm actually, I thought I was doing pretty good. Turns out I wasn't doing as good as I needed to. I mean, and by saying not doing as good as I needed to, I have stuck to a paleo diet. I really have. I've tried my best to follow the paleo guidelines. I have not cheated on the diet. The closest I came to cheating on the diet, a guy that I work with asked, you know, he... very nicely on Friday morning, went to McDonald's and he bought like breakfast burritos for everybody and just handed them out. Really nice guy. And I accepted my burrito. And while he was in the room, I actually opened the burrito up. I opened up the tortilla and started eating the inside, looked at the inside, and there was, you know, eggs and sausage in there, but there was also melted cheese. And I know cheese is not part of a good paleo diet. I'm going by the 15-85% rule that you told me about.
Right.
So I only ate about half the thing because I'd already had like a half dozen eggs that morning for breakfast. As soon as he walked out of the room, you know, I disposed of the rest of it. Sorry about that, Jerome. But, you know, diet, trying to be a healthy person, trying to lose some weight. But other than that, I have done really, really good on this. And I have been eating butter. I have, you know, not margarine. I've been eating butter because you told me that was okay. And I have been eating Spam, and those are two big no-nos on the paleo diet. But with everything that, like, our former guest Jimmy Moore, author of Keto Clarity, has told me, those two things, you know, I'm going to stick with it. I'm not eating Spam like fucking 3 times a day, 7 days a week. That'd be stupid.
Right.
But I've actually been seeing some results on this already. I've experienced... a little bit more energy than I had been getting. Without embarrassing our producer, I've actually been experiencing more male potency, so to speak. I mean, and I'm eating good food. I mean, I've been having steak a lot lately. And, I mean, unlike a lot of diets I've gone on, the food is actually very, very tolerable, if not better than what I've been eating before.
Oh, yeah.
I've had to cut out all between-meal snacking because I don't have a lot of paleo snacks in my house, except for the other night when I ate half a jar of pickles, which, you know, I like, Facebooked you. I'm like, are pickles okay? Because I just had no idea. And you Facebooked me back, yes. I mean, it wasn't like a big jar. I mean, they were like baby, you know, like baby dills. Right. So I ate like 3 or 4 of those just as a snack. But I've been doing pretty good up until yesterday. Now, yesterday you were over at my abode on my land there, and I was I started acting more kind of like the old me. One thing I've noticed, I've been calmer this week. I've been more level-headed, and I attribute that a lot to the high-fat diet that I've all of a sudden started being on. You know,
right.
You can learn about that in Keto Clarity, Jimmy Moore's book. But yesterday, I was just in a funk. I was feeling grumpy, and I was really, really low energy, and I wasn't sure what's going on because I'd been eating the same as I'd been eating all week. Now, we touched on this a little bit earlier, but it turns out the way I'd been eating all week, I was inadvertently kind of malnutritioning myself a little bit. I wasn't eating nowhere near as much as I normally. Okay, for example, this was a typical day for me before the diet. I would sometimes eat like 6 eggs in the morning because I would always try to get a high protein breakfast. Some mornings I just skip breakfast altogether, which any dietitian can tell you is a bad thing. But if I'm the kind of guy, if I'm not hungry, I'm not going to eat.
That's probably better, actually.
What's that?
If you're not hungry, don't eat.
Well, you know, some mornings I'm just not hungry. Of course, by the time I hit lunch, I'm now starving.
Right.
Now, my lunch would most of the time consist of sandwiches. Sandwiches, pasta, pizza, lots and lots of carbs. Well, good for a vast virus database. Right in the middle of the show, I might add. Do you think that's going to be on there?
I'll try to cut it out.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
So I eat my very high-carb lunch. And honestly, the last few weeks, before I even get off work, I work at a place that unfortunately sells candy bars.
Oh, God.
And I would sometimes eat 2 or 3 candy bars before I left work.
Oh, my God.
Snickers, a Twix, those are my favorites.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes some Slim Jims, which I'm like, hey, meat's good, but then you look at all the stuff that's actually in a Slim Jim, it's like jerky.
Yeah.
Wash it all down with a Mellow Yellow or a Coke.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm right there. Carbing myself and sugaring myself right up nicely. Then I'd get home and eat for dinner pizza or pasta, or if there was meat, I would bread it, and then I would eat again. I mean, after dinner, I was eating snacks. I was snacking all the way up till bedtime. I would get out of bed at like 10:30 at night and go into the kitchen and get myself and find something to eat. I mean, I'm the kind of guy that would eat a whole pack of American cheese on the ride home from the grocery store. I'll buy myself an extra pack of cheese and eat the whole day. 24 slices of cheese I would eat in a 30-minute drive.
That's so gross.
Oh, it's so delicious. And honestly, cheese is the one thing I'm missing the most on this diet.
Yeah.
It's the one thing you said I get to add. I'm going to add that back in after the 30 days. Yeah, I'm still on the 30-day detox from going hardcore and everything, but since I started the diet, all that snacking is gone, except for, like, the pickles that one night. All that snacking's been gone. I've been eating a lot of bacon for breakfast. I've been eating either salads with bacon in it for lunch, or I've been eating Spam, and then I'm trying to have, like, steak and sweet potatoes and mushrooms and stuff like that for dinner, which tonight is actually salad night. Yeah, I'm making a really big, nice salad and everything for me and the family because we all like salad.
Yeah.
But, because I had steak and eggs for their breakfast. Steak, eggs, and bacon. But, so yesterday, I was feeling really freaking low energy. And, you know, I've been telling him what I've been eating. And I told him what I had eaten. I mean, up until that point, I had had like 5 strips of bacon for breakfast. And that was my entire breakfast. And then I had like a can of Spam and some sauteed mushrooms for lunch. Which all is part goes into my diet. But I was feeling like crap. I mean, utterly like crap. Zero energy. And this, I mean, we had walked down in the field and everything. So at first I contributed to that. But I laid down trying to get, you know, a little bit rested. And then it's just zapped. I mean, completely zapped. I had nothing left. I mean, I did not want to get out of bed. I felt like I was melting into the bed.
Yeah.
And he's telling me that I haven't eaten enough. He's telling me this like 3 times, and I'm trying to explain to him, look, I'm eating the same amount of food that I've been eating all week, and I've had energy up until this point. And I fell into basically the same thing that a lot of people on diets fall into, we touched on earlier. They start eating less food. because they figure less food means less calories. Less calories means less calories you have to burn off. And so if you're, you know, doing more work than you're than the calories you're putting in, you know, you start losing weight, but your body starts going into starvation mode, even if you're still eating, which is possibly what my body was starting to do. So you started treating me like the goose that's going to be slaughtered for Christmas yesterday. For dinner, I wound up having a really big pork steak, and you made me a pork chop. I wound up not eating the pork chop because you didn't trust yours that you were eating.
It was probably freezer burned, so...
It was a really old pork chop.
Yeah.
But I ate a bunch of, sautéed Brussels sprouts and had a baked sweet potato. I mean, I ate and I was full, and I started... Honestly, by the end of the meal, I was feeling better. I actually felt some energy. I felt my batteries recharging.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Now, I love when you can literally feel the nutrients soaking into your cells.
Oh. And I'm glad we're doing this here. Where's your scale?
Oh, it's in the bathroom.
Okay, because, well, you talk, and I am going to go weigh myself. Now, at my last weigh-in toward the beginning of the week, minus all the stuff in my pockets, I weighed about 296 pounds. Now, like I said, I've only been on this for a week now. So I'm not expecting a lot of results, but I'll be right back. Okay, I just weighed in, and I'm very happy to say the scale, whereas earlier this week I was told I weighed approximately 296, 297, I'm now down to an even 290.
Awesome.
So I'm losing about a pound a day, if that's the case. Is that normal?
Between water weight and just eating healthier, yeah, that's... I've seen bigger numbers and I've seen smaller numbers. That's a good number. That's a good number.
Oh, that is awesome. That makes me feel so good right there. It really, really does. I'm actually seeing some results, and I actually can't wait to tell our producer. Normally, producer Mike's wife is sitting right here with us, but right here isn't right here where it normally is. Normally, we're in the pod cave, which is at my house. Today, we're actually at your house today.
My apartment.
Well, your temporary dwelling, as I like to call it. This is your lean-to for right now. But I'm going to tell her as soon as I get home.
I was getting ready to message her.
No. I want to tell her in person. Don't do that. Oh, God. Yeah, that makes me feel so good, dude. It really, really does. I am happy with myself. And I am staying the course. I really am. Because if I'm seeing this kind of results already, oh, dude. Dude, it's actually working. What you've been telling me and what all of our guests have been telling me is actually coming to pass.
Yeah.
I can't believe it took me this long to get on the bandwagon. Well, basically, I look at it this way. What you were telling me were like bricks that I was adding to a staircase. And what Jimmy Moore was telling me was like more bricks I was adding to a staircase. And what Glenn Tate was telling me was bricks I was adding to a staircase. I mean, so just all these guests, everybody and you just kept adding enough bricks until I finally was able to climb up the staircase and see the truth.
Yeah.
I know I sound like a religious zealot right now, but I would rather, you know, paleo is a good religion for me. I am happy. I am happy. This makes me feel good.
Oh my, that reminds me of that YouTube video I made you watch. What was it, like, shit paleo people say?
Oh, I love that. I just love the one. My favorite part, and I still quote this to this day, chick's doing like chin-ups or something, and she raises up and is like, high fructose corn syrup is everywhere. Check your pockets.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the one I liked from that video was girl comes in, the guy's eating a taco, and she was like, hey, you can't eat that taco? Yeah, it's Mexican paleo.
I've got to watch that video again. That video is awesome, especially now that I know all the lingo.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get half of it back then. But that has been Mike's Paleo Report of this week. Look forward to next week. God knows I am.
Awesome.
All right, now it is time for the other part of the Nutrition Punk. This is an article I found on cracked.com.
Your favorite website.
I love this website. I really do. And it's not exactly survivalist or nutritionist, but they do have really awesome articles on there occasionally.
Yeah.
And some that will actually fit into the confines of this show, like this article I found, which is 20 terrifying facts food companies don't want you to know. Now, everybody out there eats these products. They eat them on a very regular basis. And you want to, and sometimes things are just not as healthy as they put on. Like, for example, number 20, yogurt. It's part of a complete breakfast. It's good for you, right? Well, it used to be when it was just plain old yogurt. Maybe throw a little fruit in there, perhaps some granola. But now, it's showing a picture of a Yoplait Original. A Yoplait Original yogurt cup has twice as much sugar per serving as does Lucky Charms. Twice as much. Oh, but surely that fashionable Greek yogurt everyone seems to love these days must be different. It's special. It's natural. It's sometimes got more sugar per ounce than Coca-Cola does. Coke has 42 grams per 12 ounces, and Danone would have that much sugar in 10.6 ounces.
Wow.
Number 19. Subway's Subway's advertised nutritional value does not include the condiments, the dressing, or the cheese you undoubtedly request alongside with your sub. These standard toppings can easily double or triple the amount of calories, fat, sodium, and sugar in your healthy sandwich.
Number 18, Applebee's Oriental Chicken Salad, their most popular salad on their menu, from my understanding. Applebee's Oriental Chicken Salad has 1,310 calories, 93 grams of fat, and 1,470 milligrams of sodium. Eating this salad is worse than eating a medium-sized Big Mac meal with a Coke, which only has 1,130 calories, 58 grams of fat, and 1,245 milligrams of sodium.
Number 17. Cereal manufacturers spend twice as much on advertising as they do on the ingredients that go into them.
Okay. Number 16. Some of the largest companies have used brain scans to find that our brains react to sugar and cocaine in very similar ways.
That could be a whole episode in itself. Number 15. In America, we have all these low sugar and diet foods to choose from.
And it shows Fiber One, Diet Coke.
Too bad they all contain saccharin, aspartame, sweeteners that have been proven to cause weight gain. It's more or less your body sort of being triggered to want sweet stuff because you're giving it sweet stuff that's not really sweet. Those things are just bad anyway.
Number 14, even at healthy buffets, you will likely overeat to get your money's worth.
Yeah, and you did.
Yeah. That's because I was spending more money, and I was like, I'll be damned. I'm not walking out of here until I eat $25 worth of food.
Right. Number 13, studies have been shown that watching TV makes people unaware of how much they're eating. The average American will spend 9 years watching TV.
Right, because you're not paying attention to the food, you're paying attention to the show.
Yeah.
Now, number 12, according to Outback Steakhouse's own website, the Bloomin' Onion appetizer has about 2,000 calories. Other sources put it close to 3,000 calories. That's more than an adult should eat, should consume in the entire day.
Yes, and though these are probably made to be shared as a group, I have devoured most of one in a sitting before, and
so
they are yummy.
They are so yummy.
So someone needs it. I should do a paleo onion ring.
That's almost good enough to go on my cheat day list.
Number 11, a children's food campaign survey found that some baby food has as much, if not more, saturated fats and sugar as junk food. Saturated fat? Yay. Sugar? No.
All right, now here's something that's actually near and dear to our hearts. Number 10, Taco Bell's taco meat is only 36% beef. The list of ingredients for Taco Bell's beef includes water, soy lectin, an anti-dusting agent, and natural smoke flavor.
Where's the horse meat? I thought Taco Bell meat was horse meat.
Yeah, I mean, we had a very reliable source back in the day tell us that was just all horse meat.
Oh, what a crazy girl Tana was.
I miss you, Tana.
Number 9. Almost 80% of food commercials aired on Saturday morning children's shows are for junk food.
Of course they are.
Here's one for you.
Oh, God. Yeah, this one breaks my heart a little. Number 8. The creamy middle of a Twinkie is not cream at all, but mostly Crisco, which is a vegetable shortening.
Oh, that
is sugary lard right there.
I have... if it was lard, that would be okay, but that's disgusting Crisco, which is vegetable shortening. I've never liked Twinkies my whole life. Number seven, low fat almost never means low calorie. Applebee's low-fat chicken quesadilla contains 742 calories. A Big Mac contains 540. Low-fat, if you look at the ingredients, when I see the word low-fat, I assume that with high sugar.
Yeah.
They use sugar to make up for the fat. So people are so worried about fat, they're fine with eating, you know, a billion calories of sugar like they're idiots.
Absolutely. And low-fat is not the way to go. You want high-fat.
Yes.
All right. Now, numbers,
home run.
Number six. In a recent study, 52% of Americans believed doing their taxes was easier than figuring out how to eat healthy.
I want to say that's sad, but a lot of people just, they don't know. I mean, like, they just, the information out there is so bad and so falsified, and I've been sort of entrenched in it for so long and really geek out on it, where a lot of people just, they don't want to geek out. They just want to know, what the hell do I eat?
Thank you. Honestly, at this point, I just want to know what I can eat.
Yeah.
That's all I want to know. Just give me the list, and I will eat off that list. I don't need to know the whys and where twos and what fours. I just want to know what I can eat.
Right.
Go for it.
Number five, high carbohydrates diet produce a resistance to the hormone leptin, which is responsible for the satisfaction you feel after eating and the reduction of hunger. Your brain does not react to high levels of leptin, even when you eat a lot. It thinks you are starving, so you keep eating. You can develop resistance to leptin as little as 3 days in a diet high in sugar.
Right. Number four, Dunkin' Donuts sells 6.4 million donuts per day. They sell 2.3 billion per year. And believe it or not, I found out recently, you think that, you know, that contributes to, you know, American obesity. Most people believe that America is actually the fattest country in the world. Per capita, it's not. Per capita, it's Mexico, believe it or not. Believe it or not, it's Mexico. Mexico is a fatter country than the United States.
That's weird.
I also found that on crack.com.
Huh. Number three, in 1999, several presidents and CEOs of America's largest food companies held a private meeting where they discussed ways to tackle the growing obesity problem. So what happened to their plan? Well, the CEO of General Mills stood up in the middle of the meeting, said he wouldn't do anything to sacrifice the taste of his products, and the meeting died. And here we are today.
Number two. It's showing a picture of somebody pouring a cola into a glass. Would you eat, and ask the question, you wouldn't eat 22 packs of sugar, which is approximately the quantity of sugars in a soda, in a 120-ounce soda.
I'm thinking, like, why would you, I wonder what soda would taste like if it had one packet of real sugar, not high fructose corn syrup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder, I mean, I even know that, you know, Pepsi has real sugar throwback colas and stuff.
Yeah.
But I wonder, I mean, I'm sure the sugar amount in that is high. Like, you know, just like a tablespoon of sugar or so in like a, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Here, let me, wait, it's your turn. Go ahead.
And the winner is, ever wonder why most brands and the most restaurants incorporate the colors red and yellow? Red is an appetite simulator. Yellow is a stimulant and a sociable color. And as a society, we love to eat together. Blue is an appetite suppressant and is usually found on low-fat products, while higher fat content is usually in the red containers.
Right. I mean, and if you think about it, I mean, it's showing a bunch of them here. Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King, like Carl Jr., a.k.a. Hardee's, Jack in the Box, Del Taco, In-N-Out Burger, Kellogg's, Post, Twinkies, Nabisco, Dairy Queen, Hamburger Helper, Doritos. I can't read that one right there.
What?
What is that?
Oh, Horizon Organic Milk.
Yeah, Horizon Milk, Lay's, Fritos, Trix, Coca-Cola, Skippy, Jif. You got mustard and ketchup. You got,
I was gonna say, of course you wouldn't recognize the organic milk container.
Ready Whip. Pepsi, Kraft, Conagra Foods, Yoplait, Twix, all of these have red, and most of them have yellow somewhere on them.
And crack.com is in yellow, so it wants you to be sociable and share it on social media.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Kind of terrifying, some of the things in this list, hence the name. But yeah, no, that's just something I felt that needed to be shared. Alrighty, and that'll be the 20 terrifying facts the food industry does not want you to know. Next up, it is time for our Permaculture Minute. And the Permaculture Minute is brought to you by the Permaculture Playing Cards that our good friend Paul Wheaton
sells
and authored and
created.
Yes, created and all that jazz. See. So let's see. Okay, I did that one last time. I did that one. Hold on. Yeah, natural. Wait, did I do this one yet? Have I done that one? Natural swimming pool?
Yep, we did that a long time ago.
All right.
Why are you picking off the bottom? That's where the old cards will be.
Oh, well, then that explains everything.
Yeah, flip it over and there you go.
Okay. All right, yeah. All right. Okay. Wait, I did this one. I know I did. All right. Okay.
Ben Law. I like him.
Numbers. Okay, this is the Six of Spades. Ben Law. Ben Law's expertise in how to develop a more symbiotic relationship with a woodland. Trees dry out best when they are girded around the base for a year or so. The trade-off, dry logs are lighter, green wood carves more easily. Carpenter's trick. If you use dry pegs and greener wood, the wood will contract around the pegs and not need glue. Using round wood timbers, framing Ben's Law, using round wood timber framings, Ben Law builds homes that are created mainly by materials on the local land. Ben is the author of The Woodland Way, a permaculture approach to sustainable woodland management, The Woodland House, The Woodland Year, and his latest book, Round Wood Timber Framing.
There's a video on YouTube. I think you can look it up. It has the entire, like, over an hour long video of roundwood timber framing. It's so good. There's at one point where to get the right shape and stuff, he has this, like, giant smoke box or steam box, and he steams entire trees, you know, that he's, like, cut off the top, debranched, debarked, all that. He steams the entire thing and then bends it all like you would bend a bow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was neat to watch him, like, you know, have several people loaded up in there and then have this giant jig of trees and pegs and stuff to bend the wood.
That's pretty cool.
It is.
All right, and that has been our permaculture for the minute. permaculture for the minute. Permaculture minute.
Of the minute.
Yeah, of the minute. I can't get here. Take these. I can't get them back in the box for some reason. And let's...
You fell at life.
Yeah. Fuck you. All right. Yeah, explicit. Okay, and now it is time for our wild edible of the week, which I'm actually trying to find in our book, which is the Illustrated Guide to Edible Wild Plants, Department of the Army. And let me see if I can find it in here. We actually had one that we wanted to talk about, seeing how we had experience with it just yesterday.
Look through the table of contents, see if you see passion flower. Passion fruit.
Oh, yeah. Well, this thing, fortunately, is alphabetical, so I don't have to do all that now. I could just...
If not, I mean, I've got several more that I could grab.
It is not in here.
Huh.
It is not in here. We had a wild passion fruit on my property yesterday. Something I didn't even know was growing there. My daughter devoured it.
You didn't try it, did you?
No, I did not try it.
Why not? Because you're a Grumpalumpagus?
Yes, because I was Grumpalumpagus, exactly. All right, okay, so...
Hold on.
Hmm? All right, you can... Okay, passion fruit, or Passiflora edulis. Passion fruit is a South American native with edible subspecies worldwide in tropical countries. If you live in Florida, California, or Hawaii, you can find wild passion fruit to eat. Elsewhere, probably not, except apparently in Tennessee on my property.
Hmm.
It's a wild vine with three leaves, exotic flowers, which does describe the plant that she got it off of perfectly, and big mouth green fruits the shape of eggs. Yep. We have gorgeous passion fruit in Virginia with an exquisite purple flower, and I'm pretty sure it's that exact same strain that's growing on my property.
Yeah, Virginia, Tennessee, fairly close.
Let's see. Yeah, that's the plant right there. and a promising egg-sized fruit which never ripens no matter how long you wait. I eat ripe passion fruit in Mexico and in winter, where it's called Granada for its delicate fragrance and sweet flavor. The Virginia fruit, which grows wild in meadows along paths and in sunny late summer hedgerows, smells like the Mexican one, but alas, never ripens. It's transplanted seeds to sunny spots in my garden, where it goes limp and dies. The outside of the passion fruit is hard and leathery and eggshell-like. Mm-hmm. Inside are the sweet seeds and pulp. It's a wonderful wild fruit if it grows where you live and will ripen. Its flavor is perfumey and delicate, and it may have the most wonderful flower in the world, complicated with many leveled in white, purple, pink, or yellow. It's named for Christ's passion, as the top stigmas look vaguely like a cross.
Oh, and that comes from?
The Complete Guide to Edible Wild Plants, Mushrooms, Fruits, and Nuts. How to Find, Identify, and Cook Them by Katie Letcher Lyle.
Yeah, that was actually the first wild edible book I ever bought.
Yeah, we actually might switch to this one for a bit.
Yeah.
I like the way she wrote that.
Yeah.
So, the other one's kind of cut and dry.
Well, it is an army manual, and this one is for us plant nerdies.
Yeah, so, yeah, we'll be doing that one. Alrighty, normally it would be time for Mike's worst cases, but the worst case this week is I forgot and left the worst case cards at my house.
No, I mean, yay.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Alright, so we're actually going to, yes, unfortunately, we're skipping that this week. Because anything else, any questions I would ask, I'd have to have him look up on his computer, which means he'd see them first.
Right.
Alrighty. So let's just move right on to our final sponsor ad of the day, CampingSurvival.com.
For all your camping and survival needs, head over to CampingSurvival.com. They've got bug out bag supplies. They've got fish antibiotics. The best prices for fish antibiotics and free shipping on all the fish antibiotics. MRE paleo meals. So I'm on their website right now. Let's see if they have anything on sale. Anything special. The life straws, we tested that. They're good.
Yeah, there should be a video of that.
Yeah, there should be. There is a video up on a... That's actually a good deal. The 14x26 OD green sandbags you use to make like sandbag, trenches and stuff with, or for floods and stuff. Price 44 cents, on sale from 99 cents. I just saw them in a magazine somewhere recently.
That's a pretty good savings,
that
right
is pretty
there.
Pretty good savings. The survival food tablets that Mike got me for Christmas. They're on sale for $23.95.
Yeah, I forgot I got those for you.
Black U.S. paracord, 1,000 feet, on sale for $38.53.
Absolutely. And if you want to get these kind of good savings, all you got to do is go to survivalpunk.com, find their banner that says Camping Survival on the right-hand side, click there, and get ready to bug out, or get ready to bug in, or just get ready to bug. Okay, now we do have one more affiliate ad from this week. This is basically just a buddy of mine that I'm trying to help out. If you are having computer problems or any kind of electronic problems, you don't know where to go to find them, go to Area 51 Computer Repair. A good buddy of mine, Jason Hanna, runs it, and he can fix and fixes and refurbishes computers, laptops, even televisions. Just find him on Facebook, Area 51 Computer Repair. Now, if you have something you want to sell and it's somehow related to survival, the punk lifestyle, paleo definitely, any kind of fitness, what you need to do, you need to contact our very own Survivor Punk, James here, james@survivalpunk.com, and start selling that and start selling your products right here where all the people are listening to. Now, we do take cash. We take bitcoins. We take barter. We take precious metals. This man will take meat.
I bartered for meat a lot, so I like bartering. All right, prefer barter when I can.
Absolutely. And that's james@survivalpunk.com.
And lastly, but not leastly.
Well, now it's time for my celebrity invite of the week.
It's time for the Survival Punk Army.
Well, I put it... You want me to switch the order there? Okay, I'll switch the order. I'll put this one down here if that'll placate you. All right. If you buy a lot of stuff off the internet, and if you want to be part of something spectacular, if you want access to exclusive content and events, you need to join the Survival Punk Army. How do they do that?
you go to survivalpunk.com, click the link or the banner that says joining the Survival Punk Army. I take PayPal right now as the easiest method. I've taken the Western Union money order before. Barter, whatever.
Bitcoin. Same deals as before if you want to advertise.
PayPal is the easiest. You get discounts to over 11 vendors. You get
ebooks. 10-20% off.
You get Survival Punk podcast episodes and nice zip files.
And you get exclusive episodes of our exclusive podcast, right. Rantings, that's going to be premiering pretty soon.
And more. So make sure you join.
Make sure you join. You know why you should join? Because the Survival Punk Army wants you! All right, now it is time for my celebrity invite of this week. The celebrity I'm inviting is a kindred soul to our own. He runs the Lost Skills podcast. His name is Jeff Radke, and you know a little bit more about him than I do.
I've listened to his show off and on for a few years. It's good stuff, some real interesting subject matter. I love the man's accent. He's got one of those good sort of New England accents.
Oh, I love the New England accent. I really
Which
do.
Which, we don't bring an accent to the show. I mean, we're Southern, but we don't have a good Southern accent. Maybe we should start faking one to bring people in.
This is CPS Mike with the... No, I can't do that.
How y'all doing? Yeah, so we don't have a cool accent. Jeff does. His last name is...
We have a non-regional dialect.
Yeah, we have a non-regional dialect. So I like him. He's got a contest going on right now on his forum, the Lost Skills Podcast forum, where he's giving away some good stuff. He has a YouTube video on it. I shared it on the Facebook page. And I was watching the video. You know, he was talking about, you know, the stuff he'll give away, trying to build the community over at his forum. And it was like, and make sure you stop by and check out those Survival Punk guys. They're good people. And I'm like, Dad, that's me.
Oh, he shouted us out?
Yeah, so... Awesome on you, Jeff. Good job. And I joined the forum, so I might be posting over there. I try not to spend a lot of time in forums anymore just because I don't want to be promoting people. I don't want to be like stealing fans and, you know, being a spam whore. Because yeah. I have a tendency to be a spam whore if you let me.
Yeah.
I'll tell anyone and everyone about survivalpunk.com. People on the street, hey, how are you doing today? Haven't told you about my website? Have I told you? I'm a step away from becoming like a Jehovah's Witness, knock on your door. Have I told you about the power of the Survival Punk? Let me in your house.
I still love what you told me about the AA meeting. When you have to stand up at an AA meeting and be like, "Hi, I'm James and I'm an alcoholic," or something like
right.
that. And he has to stop himself every time from like, "Hi, this is James from the Survival Punk."
Yeah, this is James from Survival Punk. James, why are you here? Oh, I'm an alcoholic. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But Jeff Radke, God, we're your rabbit chasing today.
Yeah.
We're just rambling the way we used to. Now, Jeff Radke, you've got an open-ended, open door invite on our show at any time in the future or right now if you want to come on. You know, we can wrap this up and start another one. I don't care.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Jeff, shout out to you, buddy. Come on the show. Well, I think that's actually going to about do it for us this week on the Survival Punk podcast. I think this is a pretty good episode.
We hit some highs and some lows, and we rambled on.
Yeah, we added the new segment, and we've proved that even my fat couch potato survivalist ass can shed off those pounds when it really comes down to it. Thank you,
yeah.
Paleo.
Yeah. We're at an hour and 17 now. I don't understand how people just put out 30-minute podcasts. We could start sitting down we could do a week's worth of podcasts if we did like 20-minute podcasts.
We really could. We could just knock like one right after the other. Well, it's because most people don't have our winning personalities.
Yes, our long-windedness.
Okay. Well, that's the thing. Unlike a lot of podcasts, which is basically one guy talking to the audience, we're talking to each other, and you're educating me.
Yes.
You're educating me because I don't know a lot of this crap.
Right.
All right, but that will do it this week for the Survival Punk podcast. This is CPS Mike.
And this is James.
And just remember, there's no point in worrying about the future because worry is just interest prematurely paid on a debt that never comes due.
DIY to survive.